We're here at Menards Bag Sale, asking shoppers what they're putting in the bag to get 15% off.
Paint.
Batteries.
Tools.
Toilet paper.
Extension cords. Grocery items.
Hardware for my cabinets.
Snack items. Crackers and some canned good stuff.
Shop vac supplies.
Toothpaste, cereal, coffee, dog treats. I've got a lot of stuff to grab.
The list goes on, but the sale ends January 24th. Hurry in for Menards 15% off bag sale. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
Did you miss us? Because we were, you know, took a little break for a week. I hope you all missed us here at Interesting AF or Interesting as Fuck. I am one of your hosts, Linda, and have my co-host Elaine here. And we are now going to be our topic this week, because I don't think we went into it last week. Last time we did kind of a hello, this is who we are, you know, kind of a welcome redux, as we called it. And today we're back to our regularly scheduled programming of learning about stuff. And Elaine came across an article, and we wanted to keep doing that, you know, kind of format that we had done in the past, where one of us reads an article and the other one kind of discusses it with the other. You know, it's like that kind of thing when you send an email and you're like, if we don't hear from you,
yeah,
keep going.
We like it, so we're doing it.
We like it, and it's our show, so whatevs.
Exactly.
All right, well, Elaine, take it away. Tell us this article and what you've learned and how we can apply it to kind of everyday life.
Yeah. So came across this article from The Upshot, which is a part of the New York Times. This was written by Claire Kane Miller and Irenio Cabreros. I apologize if I butchered your first name. But I just thought this was super interesting, especially because, you know, there's a lot out right now about like 5 years since COVID and lockdowns and all of that. And kind of why we started this podcast, right? Was like, we're coming out of COVID. You know, if you're younger and you were just entering your career at the time, that it was weird to be around people and, you know, just how to converse and connect with people is kind of what this is all about. And so this article, The 15 Lessons Scientists Learned About Us When the World Stood Still, is the title. The pandemic gave researchers a rare opportunity to study human behavior. Their work offers lessons about loneliness, remote work, high heels, and more. So, excuse me. There are 15 lessons on here. And one of the things I wanted to put Linda on the spot for and see how this conversation comes about. And if it goes really well, maybe this has to be a two-parter. Or if it's going terribly, I'll just read all the 15 to you.
It depends on how my brain is doing today.
Yes. Which, like, on any given day, like, our brain is spot on or mush. So
50-50.
But I would be curious to hear some of your guesses as to what you think is on this list.
Okay.
So start one by one, because I think there are some that you'll definitely guess.
Okay.
And then there are others that are just super interesting.
All right.
So.
And for and full disclosure, I had seen this article, did not read it. I should
did
be
not.
Commended for not reading it, because this is the type of pretentious bullshit I love.
That's
Linda is all over it.
That's just learning and knowledge.
Linda is all over it. Anyway, but I would think that number one is...
You don't even have do it in order, because I don't think these aren't necessarily ranked. But I'm curious to know, like, what you think is on this list.
So I would think that, loneliness went up really, like, a lot. People did not connect with other people, and therefore we had, you know, increased loneliness. And every time there's increased loneliness, there's increased disease, there's increased alcoholism. Like, there's all these, like, factors that happen. So one, I think we just got lonelier. We didn't really use materials that we have, like WhatsApp or like calls, to actually connect to people. Because fine, we couldn't connect face to face, but you could still connect, right? I think it exacerbated. And I bet you some populations were more lonely than others. So probably like older older ones, like maybe new parents, were like the lonelier cohorts, because those are probably the ones that did not want to take the risk of getting sick more than the rest.
So yeah, so a couple of things you mentioned are on this list, but the big one, I think, which is, it's an obvious one, but there is no substitute for human contact. That was a big one. So globally, mental health, which was measured by loneliness, depression, and anxiety, got worse during, and so we're, by the way, we're specifically talking about like lockdown, like the worst, deepest, darkest days of lockdown is really what these pertain to. But because some places were locked down more than others, these studies could kind of go on. But when in thinking about this, like we're talking about the deepest, darkest days of when the world really did stand still, we were locked in our houses, no one knew what was going on. Globally, mental health went down. It got worse. I think that's a fairly obvious one. Another piece to this, right, is social media was and is not a substitute, and it made mental health deteriorate fast. I think, you know, you're right in terms of older people became very lonely, but there were also, they kind of broke groups out into older and younger. Mm. And when you talk about the social media piece, that had a massive impact on young adults.
Interesting.
A massive impact, you know, because you're seeing things that aren't necessarily real life.
You're seeing
things and not being able to converse really with your friends. You're only conversing with your friends through social media. Social media made this world more divisive and polarized during COVID. It really impacted young adults for sure. So yeah, I think that one's a pretty obvious one and should absolutely be on here. But I think it's really interesting that like they measured this globally and that was like a universal fact, that loneliness, depression, anxiety all went, I don't want to say through the roof, but like we all felt it. Even those of us who may not have ever felt it before, like, and or even if you're an introvert, I think if you're someone who naturally doesn't love going out and seeing other people, like even introverts felt it because you couldn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
So, all right. I'm trying to see if there were a couple of other things you mentioned. So I'll go into this one. You mentioned alcohol.
Something that came to me just now when you said social media, your people are watching things that are not necessarily true. And I realized that this actually like makes us more susceptible to like misinformation, gaslighting from like authorities, things like that, because we're literally that's why like the rise of, you know, certain figures is a lot easier in social media, because we're literally exposed to things that we know aren't true.
Yep.
But then where is the truth?
Right.
Right. Anyway, tangent.
No. It's a good tangent.
Alcoholism.
So alcohol, this one had, so to your point, you know, alcohol, home alcohol use certainly went up. And with that came, you know, a lot of problems. Domestic violence went up, which is a very unfortunate part of lockdown and COVID. However, on the other side of things, there were some positives in terms of alcohol restrictions saved lives around the world. So there were curfews or bans on the selling of alcohol, and that appeared to save lives. So there's an example out of South Africa. Hospital admissions to trauma units and deaths declined. And in southern India, trauma brain injuries decreased. And they attribute that to people not being out as late, people not being able to buy or drink alcohol and get into accidents. I thought that was really interesting. Personally, my alcohol consumption, hell, I got my WSET 1 and 2. I knew I was going to be drinking so much wine. Jesus. I was like, I drink all the time. I might as well learn what I'm doing.
I think the only thing that saved me is that I was pregnant for most of COVID.
Right.
Like twice. So, or had a baby. So like either or.
So going in that direction, what do you think scientists learned in terms of pregnancy or babies, anything on the list there?
Oh yeah, probably. I remember that. I remember a study going about this that like stillbirths went down or something, like better health outcomes because women would literally like not be moving as much or something. Like there was something where they wouldn't be as exposed to like pathogens. There actually like was a decrease in stillbirths. That one, I was pregnant during COVID. So like these are the things. And women were a lot more serious, I think, about their prenatal care, even though, you know, even if they couldn't go, they could like do it. They did it because they literally had nothing.
Yeah. So premature births.
Births, right.
Dropped drastically. And those may have been prevented. The ones that were prevented were likely prevented. It says premature births might be prevented if we just take better care of mom, which like you and I are probably like, no fucking shit, Sherlock. Like, no shit. But the numbers of premature babies plummeted globally early in the pandemic when everybody was locked down. And they think, like you said, it's because staying home benefited pregnant women. They could rest more. They were exposed to fewer stressors, pollutants, viruses. And yeah, women were more serious about prenatal care, going to the doctor. And there's a couple of things on this list that kind of stem from that. But yes, premature births and probably stillbirths. This one was specific
on premature
births, but I'm sure stillbirths also probably went down because if you were pregnant, I was pregnant not during the initial stages of lockdown, a little bit later on where people could go places, but like we then put ourselves on lockdown because it was pre-vaccine.
Yeah.
And we were like, why would we go anywhere if we don't have to? No one was going to the office. You know,
oh, yeah.
People were still masking. There was still like the 6-foot perimeter. And I was like, I ain't going fucking nowhere. Where are you going? Nowhere. Like,
nope.
Get the fuck away from me big time. And thank God, because I was my whole first trimester, I threw up every 2 hours. And I always, of course, had respect for women, especially working women and pregnant women, and not just working women, but like women with other kids who are pregnant, like basically pregnant women of any and all kinds. The idea that I would have been in the office throwing up every 2 hours at 6, 8, 10 weeks pregnant, not telling anybody, who the fuck wouldn't have known, first of all. So like, I, my God.
Yeah. So my first pregnancy, I actually was not as, and I think we've talked about this, I'm an Olympic level barfer, like Olympic level. And I actually wasn't too, like, I didn't have a lot of morning sickness with my first pregnancy.
Good.
I did, like, I had it, but like it was nausea, not necessarily like throwing up, but it was with my second pregnancy, where I was barfing all afternoon. I was like, all afternoon. So then at some point I was like, I'm going to get on drugs. Give me an anti-nausea medication. I'm out. Please, women, they're tested. Just take them. Like, it's fine.
Had a little pregnant lady on it. Like, it was specifically for pregnant women. I can't remember the name of it.
Mine was Benesta. I remember mine.
That was not
Benesta.
Mine, but I'm sure if I thought about it.
Yeah, there's a couple. They're tested, everybody. Just don't suffer. Good. You don't need to suffer.
It was instantaneously helpful.
Oh, so. Like one day,
I barfed. Put me on a fucking billboard.
Yes. I'll do it. We'll do it.
My husband brought it home. Oh, yeah. My husband brought it home. I literally have been throwing up for every 2 hours for weeks. He brings it home. Within an hour of me taking it, I stopped vomiting. Couldn't believe it. Like, oof. Right.
Anyway.
We had to find silver linings of the lockdown and of COVID, right?
Of course.
So mine was that I didn't have to go to work while throwing up every 2 hours. Thank you.
Nobody knew. I think you knew, but nobody knew I was pregnant. I think I had my boss knew, another of our colleagues knew, you knew. And then after that, nobody knew up until I was 7 months pregnant because I was about to leave.
Yeah, because we're like, right, we're chest up on these virtual calls. So
nobody knew. And then my favorite one was because I got my COVID vaccine during my second pregnancy. I don't know if you got it then, because it was like they were starting
to roll it. Because we were pregnant, we were deemed high risk. And so exactly. I got it kind of right after that first rollout for like the oldest people and the most high risk people. Yeah. I got it during the second rollout. So I think it was like April of 2021. Yes. So I was pretty early pregnant too.
I think it was like April or something. And the lady was like, can you, you know, are you, maybe I got it like, you know, May, because I was 7 months pregnant, like May or June. And she was like, are you pregnant or in the possibility to be pregnant? And I'm like, lady, like, I'm like, don't you see? It was very funny to me. But yeah. So yay for better health outcomes.
I actually joined a study for out of the University of Washington for the COVID vaccine with pregnant women. My cousin is a nurse. And her and I were pregnant around the same time. And she's like, would you want to be a part of this study? I said, abso-fucking-lutely I would. So I actually did and they still send me like once a year. They're like, how's your baby? How are you feeling? Like even years later, they're still checking in to make sure there were no impacts. And we good, man. We good to go.
Good to go. I would think one of them would be the environment, that it actually got better because we weren't out driving and doing bad things to the environment. And like, my guess is the environment market. Remember there was like something where like the whales came back all of a sudden.
So I was thinking because of this, that could be our next doc is in. Cause it's, ooh, first of all, it's David Attenborough. Who doesn't fucking love Sir David Attenborough?
Done.
It's called The Year the Earth Changed, which I think we'll do as our next. And it specifically talks about the environment rebounding and how quickly it did while we were locked down. It's spectacular. But yeah, the environment, this one is very specific to animals.
Okay.
But I find it really interesting. So this one says dolphins talk more when people aren't around. So animals began breeding more. They were traveling farther. Dolphins whistled longer. Birds changed their songs. Sea turtles laid more eggs. All of this stuff happened. There's pros and cons to everything. More invasive species decided to come in and take over because people weren't treading in certain places or fishing in certain places, right? And I'm like, I'm not for overfishing the ocean, but like there is a system, right? To a lot of the earth has adapted to what is the system of every day now, right? So yeah, pieces of the environment came back, but it also showed how the environment needs human beings now, right? Like not in every single case, but
like the ecosystem, again, like yeah, the ecosystem, species, yeah.
Yeah, like the ecosystem, right? Like the ecosystem, it came back in terms of the environment for a little bit, but the balance was off because we weren't out and about doing our normal thing. But so yes, that was another one. There's another interesting environmental one, since you brought it up,
okay,
is that trees and plants make people happier, which like seems kind of obvious, but I found that one interesting. People obviously, and I think because of when lockdown hit us, right? Like China was in the middle of winter when they first had their lockdown. But for us, it was March, April, May, June. People flocked outside. And natural areas during lockdown, we had the ability to do that, which was thank the fucking ground earth we walk on. Because if it had been getting dark at like 4:30 at night and it was cold and we really couldn't even go outside, I would have burned my house down. Like talk about fucking cabin fever.
Oh my God. We talked about
The Shining. I would like room 234, 237, like all over the place. And a study in 9 countries found that access to nature, even just a balcony or a garden at home, buffered the stress of lockdown and improved people's moods. And then, of course, there's always, they didn't necessarily get into this, but there is all of that scientific evidence that having certain plants in your home helps purify the air. They just naturally make people happier, right? Because they need sunlight, you're more likely to let some sun into your house, let the light in. So I thought that one was an interesting one.
That's really cool. And so like, it's because like plant use went up and then we went out more because we could be outside and things like that. Wow. Yeah, I didn't think about that one. Really didn't
cool,
think
right?
about that one.
All really right, cool. Let's see. So we've gotten 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Right. I'm not going to necessarily make you guess all 15.
Guess all 15. Vaccines work. Like, is that one of them? Because, I mean, like, I hope.
So,
like, I mean, we knew that before.
Yeah. We but, should like, all we, still know that.
Yeah, we should all still know that. But I would think that this was like one of the biggest kind of live experiments of vaccine uptake and vaccine like side effects, because everybody knew like it's not like we're rolling out like, for example, like a smallpox vaccine, chickenpox vaccine, right? Because kids take it at different times and they're just sort of cohorts. But now you had basically the entire globe. Well, of course, there were the haves and the have-nots. Some countries didn't get access to the vaccine, and we can talk about that until, you know, the end of times. But we basically had a long-running science experiment on side effects, uptake, adverse side effects for vaccines, and how basically that mRNA, this new technology, is actually game-changing for health.
Yeah. So, yes, accurate. It was framed a little bit differently, but literally out the gate, the number one, again, these aren't ranked, but the first thing they put in this is flu season doesn't have to be so bad, is the way they say it. So the flu basically disappeared during lockdown, which is true.
Right.
I don't know. We didn't get it. No one we knew got it because no one was going anywhere. Also, simple behaviors like masking, washing hands, avoiding social gatherings, getting vaccinated, drastically lower flu cases and other respiratory illnesses. I truly think it's like, again, right? Like pros and cons. We weren't sick for over 2 years.
However,
that's not always a good thing either, especially when you're constantly with the antibacterial, like we're basically bathing in it, right? That's not always a good thing either, because holy fucking shit. You already know where I'm going with this. The first daycare sickness that our child brought home took me out so hard, worse than when we had COVID. And luckily we got COVID after our vaccines. Like it still was not pleasant, but like it wasn't as bad as it could have been, I'm sure. But I got a sinus infection that took me out so hard. I thought something was eating my face from the inside out. I had to get on steroids. I had to close down work every day at 2 because I was in so much excruciating pain. And it's because I hadn't been sick, which sounds great in theory because no one likes being sick. But at the same time, I had no antibodies for other things. I had no immune, like my immune system was good because I wasn't getting sick, but it was weak because I wasn't exposed to the germs I needed to be building immunity to. So, man, I got taken the fuck out, like back to back to back, because we had no immunity.
I didn't have a chance to go to the doctor. I had a sinus infection for 6 months. When I went to my ENT after this, because I was like, I was just sick on sick on sick. So basically, sinus infections tend to be secondary infections, right? So you get whatever, a cold or whatever, and then it kind of like mucks up around and then gets infected. So I didn't realize that because my kids kept getting sick and sick and sick. And I was like, oh, I'm just getting sick and sick and sick. And then eventually in like April, like March or something, like late February, March of, I guess, 2022, I was like driving my parents to the airport, and I was like, I couldn't see because my eyes were watering so bad and I couldn't breathe. And I was like, you know, I'm just going to go to the ENT. And the ENT was like, I swear this is pulmonary. And he looks down, like, you know, my sinuses, and he's like, how have you lived like this? This has been going on for months. Like, this is not just like a month old infection. So I bet you've had a sinus infection. You've been kicking around for like 6 months. And that's how bad it was. Like, yeah. I had a raging sinus infection that like kept getting reinfected and reinfected every time I got sick. And I didn't have, because I, you know, you're a mom and it's like hard sometimes to go to the doctor. But I learned that lesson. I was like, nope, not doing this again. Every time I'm like, oh, this sounds like a sinus infection. I'm out. Yeah. So, yeah. The first time we got the flu was bad.
Oh, God. Yeah. But thinking about like doctor's visits, what do you think changed during COVID with doctor's visits?
Doctor's visits went down. People didn't go to the doctor as often, but they went to telehealth. I mean, I bet there's like a twofold thing there, right? People stopped going physically, but there was more telehealth appointments.
So the one they focus on, you're dead on, is that one of the lessons learned is that doctor's visits do not have to be in person. And actually, because of telehealth, healthcare costs went down.
Ah.
Right? Isn't that crazy? And it's because people weren't going to the doctor for such minor things. Like, they were still going to the doctor for major things, of course.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think a lot of people didn't go in for screenings when they should have that first year, but people, you know, tended to go back.
Yeah.
After a while. But yeah, one example that they talk about is like someone who has very minor appendicitis wouldn't have gone to the doctor and it would have healed on its own, as opposed to going and maybe them selling you on surgery or something, or
right,
drugs to help, you know. So it just lowered healthcare costs because people didn't go in for such minor things anymore.
Yeah.
Okay. For a while. So yeah, that's the lesson they specifically talk about is that they didn't have to be in person, and that doctors and patients have come around to virtual visits, and not just you know, to get medicine or get treatment, but like for mental health, right? Therapy.
Yeah.
Went online really quickly, and a lot of people now have more access to therapy for mental health because of telehealth, which is great.
Yeah, that's how I, you know, my therapist, like it was all telehealth. I remember before my pregnancy, like I went to a therapist live. And then after I had my kid, I was like, oh, I need to find a therapist. And thank God it was like telehealth, because then I could,
you know,
see her whenever I needed to. It was magnificent. Let's see another one. Okay, we went environment. We went some health. There's probably more health ones, I bet. Oh, there's probably a work one that Jamie Dimon doesn't like. Work from home. People became more productive working from home.
Absolutely. Workers do not need to be chained to their desks.
Sorry, today. Jamie.
Whatever, Jamie.
You know, just little tangent. My thing isn't his stance against work from home. You can have an opinion. But sure. All the leaked audio that it is, he's so angry about it.
Angry.
Do you need to be that angry about that, man?
Nope.
Like, you don't, you can be like, you know, I don't believe work from home works for this particular industry. There needs to be some FaceTime. 100% agree. There are certainly, you know, you and I
How
are.
How much manufacturing does he have?
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
Zero. Right. But let's be the devil's advocate, right? Let's see. It's the tone.
Yo, 100%.
The tone. Just like the judge said on the Good Place. You know, it's the tone.
It's the tone. Yeah. So today, here we are, 5 years later. Over 25% of paid work days, just over 25% of paid work days are now worked from home, as opposed to 7% pre-pandemic. And one of the major things that it improves is retention. So, which we've seen, right? And right now we're seeing this, I keep reading about the return of big boss era, like where these CEOs are, you know, more empowered to have this like get to the office or get fucked kind of attitude, which, you know, y'all should see the scowl on Linda's face right now.
Why can't we talk about it? Why can't we just have a system that works? You know, I have to say, in our office, I think we have a great system. Like,
fantastic.
I think we do it right. I think I do. We do it wonderfully. But yeah, the scowl on my face was loud.
But it is now proven 5 years later that it improves retention and that people and your best workers are most likely to stay when you provide that flexibility, assuming they're in a role where that flexibility is allowed, right? Like
right.
Manufacturing in a lab, of course, this is a, you know, first world problem with the flexible work days, but you know,
yeah,
but it works to have that flexibility. So yeah, that was a big one. All right. I mean, you've gotten a lot of them. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 left. You got more than half already.
All right.
There's still some really interesting ones on here.
Yeah, I probably will never guess those.
Well, that's not going to make you guess all 15.
No, I know, but how ironic is it that we're on the Interesting AF podcast and I can't even, you know, think of the most interesting facts in this article?
Because it could be one of a billion things.
Yeah, of course.
Like we learned a lot of interesting things about human nature and nature in general during lockdown that like I found this list really interesting for sure.
I'm going to go for one more and see if I can figure this out.
If you go for one more, then I'll read you the rest.
All right. There's got to be something more in health that we haven't gotten or work or something. People, I mean, people. What did we learn? Now I'm like, we learned nothing. Life is meaningless. We learned nothing. Life is meaningless. we probably learned that our infrastructure isn't as good as we thought it was, like internet infrastructure and like connectivity or something. I don't know, something like that, that we need.
So that's not on there, but it's a good one, right? I think we witnessed the overhaul that our company had to do. I mean, you want to talk about Congress, they were so behind. Everyone was still using Blackberries and no one, like the option for virtual meetings was non-existent. Yeah. I cannot stress that enough.
Yeah.
And I was actually impressed with how quickly that all came about, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. But I agree, like you needed good internet, you needed bandwidth, you needed good virtual cameras and I think a lot of people had to face that for sure. So one that I'll do,
okay,
again in no particular order, is computers. Since we're on computers, are not a replacement for a classroom.
Yeah,
like the data is very clear on this. Remote school was not enough, and I don't think anybody thought it would be. I don't think anybody sat there being like, well, this is clearly going to be fine. I don't think anybody thought that, to be honest with you. But across the U.S. in both whatever this study classified as rich and poor districts, math and reading test scores fell. Many students haven't caught up. There was learning loss even in countries that had shorter school closures than we did. And just kind of across the board, this was, not good.
Great.
It's not good.
Yeah. I think, and this is like a wider discussion. I think we're going through a huge moment of transition, and we're trying to figure out how these tools like computers, AI, kind of fits in our learning kind of toolbox, because all this stuff are tools, everybody. They're not end all catch all, right? They're tools. No. And we're not using them appropriately. And I think we still haven't, unfortunately. And I think many governments, many policymakers are not thinking through what we need. And I think, you know, with remote school and, you know, we didn't have like school age kids.
Right.
But I think if you were just honest with people, it's like, hey, we're doing the best we can. We want to minimize the kids being exposed to this virus that we know nothing about. We don't know the long-term effects. Yes, we're trying to figure out as we go. Let's lock down. Let's see what happens. Let's try to put some mitigation methods. But I think that was the lack of you know, and this might be another one where like a lack of trust among government, health authorities around anything, right? Trust probably plummeted because that's something we learned because people didn't know how to communicate about a very real threat. And then you see the dichotomy of how different types of people took that uncertainty and ran with it.
Yeah. I'm going to keep it in the kid category with the next
one. Let's keep it in the kid category.
Which, like, this one, our blood may start boiling with this one. There's a simple way to bring children out of poverty. The monthly checks. Okay. Linda's face. It's a podcast, so I'll just mention it. I can't. No shit, Sherlock, again. The monthly checks from the federal government brought children out of poverty. The money sent was used for its intended purpose, which I think a lot of people would say, why are we sending away free money? They're going to do this, and that with it. No, it was used for the intended purpose, which is food, childcare, healthcare, housing. And not only did it bring children out of poverty, but holy shit, guess what? It improved parents' mental health and overall family well-being.
Fuck, a family-friendly policy.
What the fuck? It's that simple.
It's actually conditional cash transfers, like not unconditional cash transfers, usually when they are sent, they actually work globally. Like they've never not worked. Of course, there's always like a small percentage of the population, but what basically how you set it up is you set up like certain criteria and you go, oh, these kids are already in school. These parents have jobs. And basically you just supplement to ensure that these families can, you know, make it through.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. We'll leave it at that. The facial expressions have been on fucking point today, Linda.
Well, I'm really glad I didn't read the fucking article because I would have thrown my computer out the window.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm glad I'm hearing it from a friend.
Yep. spoiler alert, teenagers do, in fact, need more sleep.
Yeah. I could have told you that one. I'm still a teenager.
I didn't need a study for that one. I need more sleep all the time, too. So during lockdown, they started sleeping more according to their natural rhythms as opposed to school schedule. And getting the sleep they needed improved concentration, behavior, attendance, learning, and mental health.
Makes sense.
No doy. No doy. Okay, so these next ones are actually, I'll do this one first and then we'll finish out with the ladies.
Oh.
There's several on us lovely ladies. This one I find really interesting. Not shocking, but like I love that this is one of the lessons. Home field advantage is real, but it is because of the fans for sports teams.
Oh.
Yeah. So home teams played worse without fans around, even if they were playing in their home stadium, arenas, ballparks, etc.
It's the hype.
It's the camaraderie. It's the cheering. It's all of that, which totally makes sense.
Right.
And it was so weird to watch all these sporting events with no fans. Like we were watching soccer games. We're big golfers, so like watching the Masters with nobody there was weird as shit. Like,
I bet
football started their preseason without people in the stands. I mean, it was so weird. It was so weird to see. And they also, through all of this, were able to study the impact of jet lag on athletes because when the NBA started coming back, they took, I think like 20 teams
mm-hmm.
and they all played in Orlando, Florida, and everyone's stats went up and they realized it's because they didn't have to be bopping around the country in different time zones and whatnot, you know, the day of or the day before a game. And so literally every stat went up. Scoring, rebounds, assists, like all of it.
Makes sense.
Which does totally make sense. And I would never, ever advocate to say, like, let's play all football games here and all baseball games here. And but like, there is something to it, right?
But time it better for everybody and everybody involved. But it's interesting. What's more interesting is that we had to prove the negative first. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we were still doing all these games and all this stuff, and until we had to put them all together because we had this raging pandemic happening where we had to go, oh, wait, this is not good. Like, right. The way we're doing things is not the best,
not
maybe.
Not always the best.
Let's, you know, it's not like giving people money so they can eat.
Oh, well, these next two are going to also, like, just, I'll start with the ones that will, like, piss you off the most and end with the one that I think is funny, but also, like, I'm going to use this the rest of my life. But so this one, like, infuriating. Not even being stuck at home makes men do more housework. Even when men worked from home, women still handled more of the work. 8 out of 10 mothers said they managed remote schooling. That could be why mothers' antidepressant use increased, but not fathers. Mothers were more likely to cut back at work. The list goes on. That's not me saying it. This is this article. This is facts, guys. This is data. This is numbers.
And also, we don't even need the numbers. Everybody that's listening knows this 100% that this happened. I mean, I went through it. I know I went through it. God bless.
Amen.
Oh my gosh. All
right. Women are better patients than men. Yeah. I mean,
in the sense of we don't like get angry or what?
So they didn't mention that, but we were more likely to wear masks, get vaccinated, follow other public health guidance, which you mentioned before, but not just in the US, this is globally. And women are more likely to seek preventative care, visit doctors, follow health recommendations in general, which could also be why we live longer. They also did say, though, that men who lived in a household with a woman or women, their numbers were higher too in terms of getting vaccinated, wearing masks, going to preventative care, all that stuff. So clearly we're just good influences.
Yep. Okay, women tend to be in families. They tend to take care of the health of their entire families, husbands included, but it's not the opposite.
So this is, we're on number 15.
All right.
Well, we're on the 15th one. This one I'm going to use forever. And because it is, thinking about them hurts my feet. High heels are not just uncomfortable, they are dangerous. There were less women in the emergency rooms, and injuries from wearing high heels, fractures, sprains, etc., declined sharply during lockdown. And
makes
so
sense.
I've been out on high heels for a long time just because I played sports my whole life and my hips and back are a fucking disaster because I was trained like a man my whole life. So I've been out on high heels anyway. But now I have proof that I'm being a safer, healthier person for not wearing.
That's awesome. Yeah, definitely after COVID, like I didn't even wear that high heels, like much high heels, but like, you know, kitten heels or like something like that. But like, I always needed, not to go TMI, but one hip is shorter than the other for me. So like, that's like, so actually a heel balances me out ironically, because it's like puts you anyway, but fuck heels. And the only ones I use now are block heels. If I do heels, it's block heels. Because those are a lot easier. Exactly. Yes. Thank you I mean, I wouldn't have known that a couple of years ago. So thanks for that.
I thought that was interesting, right? So yeah, there's your 15 things that scientists learned during the deepest, darkest depths of lockdown, according to the New York Times.
I love how like wide breadth this was. Like it wasn't just like one thing or another. It was like really a big thing. And also, this will remind you that AI is not going to replace us, everybody.
No, it can't.
It can't. People are people. I know, you know, yesterday Gates was like, oh, in 10 years, we're not going to have doctors. And we're not. And you're like, no, probably not.
No, I don't think so. They said we'd have flying cars by now. And we don't have, I mean, I've seen one, but like.
Yeah. Where are my lace up Nikes?
Seriously. I'm a hoverboard.
And your hoverboard.
And Jaws 25.
Like I want
a Back to the Future reference for our younger listeners.
Go watch the movies. Go watch all three
bangers.
I know people shit on the third one.
No,
but
it's good.
I love the third one. The Clint Eastwood reference. I mean, who does not cheer at that scene?
I know all three of them are good. The first two, I would argue, are the better ones, but the third one is still good.
Except I accept the ranking. I would go 1, 2, 3. They're actually ranked.
Literally 1, 2, 3. Yep.
Literally ranked 1, 2, 3. But the last 2 seconds of the third one, of the second one, is awesome. Like where he gets the letter.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, Anyway, and then you have to wait for the third movie to read the. Anyway, you want to go watch it real quick? No, you have time to kill.
All three of them. We'll go watch all three.
All three. That was great. I learned a lot. I had fun with that. You think that you don't know, but like you do know somehow, but you also like, you know, but yeah. Wow. So we'll link the article, the New York Times. Tell us what you've learned from lockdown. Yeah. I think we're not talking about lockdown, COVID, or anything as much as we can, because we are just like stuck in that trauma response where we want to pretend like it didn't happen. But the more and more we talk about it, go back to our generational trauma like episode. The more we talk about it, the more we accept lessons, the more we think we can move on and learn from it and find happiness eventually, you know. And you know, this is corny, but it's the rest of us. Like when we're all together, we can find solutions and we can find, you know, ways to move forward in ways that are healthy, supportive of other people, and inclusive.
Yes. Amen.
Well, with that, so I think we talked about what our next episode's going to be. So it's going to be the Doc is in Sir David Attenborough. Sir, yeah. The year our world changed, right?
Yes. The year the earth changed. It's less than an hour, so it's a real easy commitment. I think it's on Apple TV Plus. You might also be able to get it on Amazon Prime.
Perfect. Well, that's then there you really go. Good. So that's our next episode. And we we'll discuss it. I haven't seen it, so it'll be the first time I'll see it and we'll discuss it. But otherwise, again, tell us what you've learned. Email us. Our email is open. And as always, Elaine, take us out.
Stay interesting.